I've been coming to Highland MB for almost 2 years now. My husband Johnny and I started attending shortly after we got married and moved into this area of Calgary, as we wanted to have a church to call home together. Sorry. I have felt so welcomed at Highland these past 2 years and really enjoyed getting to know so many of the people who attend here over lunches, 642 soup, and after-church conversations. I'm looking forward to joining the membership here and becoming more involved in the community. I was born in Winnipeg into a loving Christian family and accepted Jesus into my heart in Sunday school when I was 5. Becoming a Christian so young, I thought that was where my testimony would end, but as I've gotten older, I found I had to make a choice to continue to follow God and learned you cannot know the strength of your faith without being tested. In order for my faith to mature, as I grew up through junior high and high school, I had to face the questions and doubts that I encountered. As an example, when I started to see my peers at church waver in their faith, I started to doubt God because I saw hypocrisy in people who called themselves believers. God revealed to me in that time, through many questions, that I had to place the foundation of my faith in Him, not people, because only His truth does not fail. Other believers, like me, will sin and make mistakes because they are human and not God. And God's mercy and forgiveness for me and my sin is the same as it is for everyone else. Through my times of questions and growing faith, I was blessed that God placed key people and leaders in my life that would show me the true meaning of Christian love and service in the church, so that when I'm challenged by theological and spiritual struggles, I can grow in my faith. And it gave me an important foundation for my faith as I moved into adulthood and university. After my first year of university, I moved to Calgary in 2015 to train at the Olympic Oval in long track speed skating. I wanted to see how far I could make it in the sport, and I hoped that through training and dedication, I might make it to the Olympics. But going into the 2022 Olympic season, nagging injuries made it pretty obvious to me that that wasn't going to be my calling. My favorite verse through that time and still today, which has stuck with me since summer Bible camp leadership training in high school, is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 25, which reads, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." With sport being such an important part of my adult life, I always liked the imagery of training myself for God's work. Reading on to verse 26 and 27, it says, "So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others and myself, I myself should not be disqualified." This part of the passage has been a bigger challenge for me. It has taken a while before I felt ready to be baptized, partially not out of not wanting to share my testimony in front of a large group of people, but also because I felt like I wasn't ready. However, in the last 7 years, I believe God has been calling me to be baptized. And while I heard the call, I also obviously had not acted on it. I have learned about God and His promises through Bible study and church, and seen His love in many friends, my family, and my husband. I've accepted Jesus into my life when I was young, and today I still believe that without God, my sin deserves death, and that it was only through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that I can receive His forgiveness and repent of my sins. I want to make sure that I'm not aimlessly living as a lukewarm Christian, but running well in the race God has for me. And in order to do that, I must answer His call and be baptized. And that's why I want to be baptized today.
Lindsay, I want to formally ask, do you believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Him?
I do.
Do you acknowledge and accept our confession of faith?
I do.
Is it your desire to work together with us as God enables and to be welcomed into the membership of this church?
I do.
All right. Yes. Then, Lindsay, in the name of Jesus Christ, I invite you to cross your arms and plug your nose. And in the name of Jesus, who has the power and the desire to forgive us all our sins, and who will come again someday to judge the living and the dead, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Come on in, Brennan. My son.
Hello. As many of you are probably aware, I'm Brennan Coop. I grew up in a Christian household, which meant that family prayer before every meal and a weekly outing to church on Sunday were inevitable. I've always known that God exists. I just hadn't really felt a personal connection with him. Then there were two events where God made his presence felt, and I knew that I wanted to have a relationship with him. The first was around the same time last year. My family and I had decided to watch the Easter story. During the film, the visualization of what Jesus had done on the cross for me really hit me. I remember sitting on the couch crying with my parents on either side of me when I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I don't know what I was expecting to happen, but nothing really seemed to. Life went on as normal. The second time was different. I felt a more lasting impact on my life. It was at the lead retreat at Camp Evergreen last autumn. Whether I was sitting in chapel, playing late-night foosball, or even just laying in the cabin, I could feel God's presence in everything I did, everywhere I went, and everyone I met. It was during that trip that I realized just how strong the love of God actually is, and that I want to show that love to as many people as I can and follow God's lead wherever he wants me to go. A journey with God will lead people to places they would have never anticipated being. But I have faith that, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he'll be right there beside me through every slump and slope. I believe the next step on the journey that God has taken me on is to be baptized, to publicly commit my life to Jesus here and become a member at Highland Church.
Do you believe, Brennan, that Jesus is Lord and Savior and that all authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth has been given to him?
Yes.
Do you acknowledge and accept our confession of faith?
Yes.
Is it your desire to work together with all of us here and as God enables and to be welcomed into the membership of this church?
Yes.
Then, in the name of Jesus Christ, who has the power and the desire to forgive sins, and who will come again someday to judge the living and the dead, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I love you, son. Thanks, God.
We worship the one true God, distinct yet existing in eternal unity. Who can wrap their minds around such a one? A God of perfection who needs nothing, but who willingly chooses repeatedly to commit, to take formal steps of commitment. The Bible's word for it is, of course, covenant. To take these steps of commitment in order to reconcile all things to himself. As followers of Jesus, through life, we will certainly experience different seasons, and life is so much like a journey. It's true, and it's full of change, no question. But we are never more like God than when we lovingly commit ourselves to one another. So at this time, I want to invite first May and then Nathan to come up and share their testimonies, and then Jonathan will come as well, and we'll move forward as we hear from them. May and Nathan, come on up.
Do I touch this thing? Thank you, Pastor Scott, and good morning to everyone. I'm May Chan, for those of you that don't know, and we've been coming to this church for about 3 years and have really enjoyed the fellowship and all the friends we've made in Christ. To start with, my parents, I'm just going to a bit of history here, but my parents moved to Calgary in the 50s, in 1958 to be specific, and we moved to the outskirts of South Calgary in the community of Southwood. At that time, there were very few Asians. My parents didn't speak any English. And I was the first of four children born, all cesarean, in 5 years. So you can imagine how tough that was for the family. And our first exposure to church was at the Full Gospel. Our neighbors invited us, and my mom just readily said, "Go." I don't think she knew what she was doing, but it was for her mental sanity. And we were just really thankful that it was a Christian church. It could have been something else. But we did learn one basic verse that we memorized, and that was John 3:16. It was, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever so believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And we've, you know, as we discovered, that's the basis for our Christian faith. And like I said, we didn't learn a lot out there, but it was one of the fundamentals that we did learn, so that was really cool. Fast forward to August 1981. By then, we were in high school, and we were part of the Chinese United Church Fellowship. And we all decided to attend the Billy Graham Crusade, and that's where many of us stepped up and accepted Christ as our Savior and repented and asked for forgiveness of our sins. We continued through the 2-7 series, and this study and the group was fundamental in our Christian walk and our relationships with our friends, Christian brothers and sisters. As some of you may know, we do a lot of vacations on bike. Well, these trips are something. Never realized how dangerous they were until you live through it and go through the dangers of it. But in any case, in 2025 in April, we're going through the mountain ranges of Taiwan. And there was a lot of straight up and downs and winding hairpin turns. And even for the experts, I think it was dangerous. One day it was blowing, pouring rain. Visibility was, you know, not more than beyond the cap we were wearing. So needless to say, it was dangerous. I was just praying and saying, "Oh God, just take me down this thing safely." Next thing I knew, I slipped on a bend. And I went, "Oh no." And I looked up and there was these headlights staring at me. I went, "Oh my goodness." But in any case, God was there for me, and there was three other cars behind, and I went, "Oh my goodness, this is crazy." He didn't even stop to apologize, well, to see if I was okay. But I went, "Thank goodness he didn't, because it could have been more disastrous." In any case, the point was, I was going to say that God's protection was over me, and I really felt his presence and his provision for me. And I'm reminded of that song afterwards, and I kept singing it the whole rest of the trip, that I know who holds tomorrow, our lives are in his hands. And some of my more challenging times also was during COVID. We were looking after our father who was sick, and it was a 24/7 job. We although it was difficult, we still saw the blessings and the humbleness that we had to have serving and the opportunity just to grow closer to our parents. That, you know, in our younger days, We just knew them as toiling and just trying to give us a better life. And it was just a great opportunity, even though it was difficult, just to be able to serve and help them through their times. We also walked through some tough times. We lost a dear brother in Christ recently as well, and just it was difficult walking through that with them as well, but just really seeing Christ in their lives and how God was with them through every step of it, and they just took that, you know, I mean, I couldn't imagine how difficult it would be if I was in that position, but, you know, I'm learning to take a step of faith and also to know that He has everything in His hands, and, you know, through the dark valleys, and also to be able to find the joys on the beautiful high mountains of Norquay. I call it Norquay because we've been there a lot, and it's just gorgeous. We have experienced the fellowship of the group, and we just and felt God's presence at this church, and we believe God has led us to this community for spiritual growth and service. And one of my favorite verses from before and still hold today is Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. And that's my testimony.
My name is Nathan Chan. I told my friends this morning that I wasn't nervous, but I think I was lying. So the guideline says I have to tell of where I grew up and what type of upbringing I had. So unlike May, I wasn't born in Canada. I was born in Hong Kong. I came in 1969, so you know I'm retired. When I came, I landed in Sherbrooke, Quebec, and I didn't understand a single word of English, not to mention French. I had to look in a dictionary for words like is or are, and I couldn't tell why, you know, there's two words that means the same, because in Chinese, it's the same word. So it was how little English that I understood. Sherbrooke is within the eastern townships, so it's a pocket where there are a lot of English-speaking people. So they had infrastructures for English people, English elementary school, English high school, and English university. I went through the high school system because I came at 12. I already finished elementary school. So imagine how I worked through the English high school system. It was difficult. But I ended up learning how to speak English and enough French to ask where the washrooms are and all that stuff, you know, go shopping, buy food, restaurants and all that. As I grew, I understood more, and I went through high school with the help of our school counselor. It turned out that the school counselor was a Catholic priest. Well, you couldn't find any Protestant churches there. It's French, it's Quebec, so it's all Catholic. But it was an introduction to God. When I went to university, it's called Bishop's University. Maybe people know that place. There was another counselor, also another Catholic priest. So I continued to learn more about Christianity. I learned enough that when I finished university, I moved to the West, to Calgary, and I decided that I wanted to continue to attend church. But I found the Chinese United Church. That's how I met May, my future wife. And therefore, I continue to grow in faith. As you know, because I was educated in English, French, and Chinese, so I might have a little bit of everything in there in my accent. I grew. So the next thing that I want to share is, you know, my family situation. I came from a family of five siblings, including myself. My oldest sister, Anna, my second sister, Miriam. Anna lives in Vancouver, Miriam lives in Sacramento in the USA. My oldest brother, Vincent, the third one, and next one, Barry, and then myself. My family, immediate family, I have three children, Cameron, Lindsay, and Andrew. I have five grandchildren, Jesse, Morgan, Jordan, Theodore, and Naomi. So from 8 years old to 2 years old. I was asked to share a turning point, a milestone in my Christianity. I must say that it was boring. I was not blinded for 3 days and I didn't turn into Paul. But my faith was incremental. God points me to people who share their testimonies, who share how difficult it was for them to turn from being a gambling addict, drug addict, to come to know Jesus Christ and become Christians and become strong. Similar to me, our very good friend, who've been good friends with us, showed us how they depend on God. In their poorest moments, they still opened up their homes. They didn't have steaks to share, but they share spaghetti and so on, and salad. So no matter what they go through, they always opened up their homes. And we learn how strong. Last year, in his dying days, we learned how strong the wife depended on God and how strong she was. And we continue to grow that way. In 1989, we moved to the southern part of Calgary, and we switched church to the South Alliance Church. We lived in the Fish Creek area. And then later on, we moved to the Mennonite, Mountain View Mennonite Church. It was through those years that we studied the Bible. We also attended the 2-7 courses and had memory verses and all that stuff. Through the years, we've learned and became stronger as Christians. We fast forward to the COVID times now. During the COVID times, we only attended some virtual Sunday services, and afterwards in 2022, I really didn't go to church for a long time. However, about 3.5 years ago, maybe 4 years, not sure, Pastor Hebert, who was my good friend and still is, and Leona, encouraged us to start going to church physically, personally. So we went to Dalhousie, we came to Highland, and we went back and forth. And here we found that we found encouragement. By the way, by then, you know, I had fallen away from Jesus. It was my low point in Christianity. But we came to Highland and we found that people here were encouraging. We found support, we found friendship, we found fellowship, and we also were able to serve. So here I feel God's hand reaching out to me, and we want to be here, and that's why we're transferring our membership to Highland. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Johnny. Jonathan, I was introduced as. So a number of years ago, I was on a canoe trip in the boundary waters of northern Minnesota, organized by the Evangelical Covenant Church. During the trip, my camp leader asked me when I decided to be a Christian, or you know, how was I saved? At the time, the question stumped me. In a moment of mild panic, like an unexpected exam question, I relayed a story. I told him about my survival of childhood cancer and how I told him that God saved me, and because of that, I decided to be a Christian. But even at the time, I knew that that answer was mildly disingenuous. And the truth is much more prosaic. There was no single moment of clarity or decision about, just as there is no single moment one becomes an artist or a musician, right? I grew up in the third of four kids over here, roaming around the Rosebud Valley, feeling fairly comfortable in my belief in God. I got baptized at age 11 in the Rosebud Church. My faith at this time was juvenile, but quite devoted, and perhaps being more conversant with God than perhaps at any other time, though sheepish about discussing him with other people. That did fade in time, I would add, though. I adored nature and was captivated by the detailed beauty of the world and maps, mountains, and trees. In adolescence, a young couple moved to Rosebud and started a youth Bible study, focusing on scripture as well as works by C.S. Lewis and Friedrich Buechner. This wonderful couple were not enforcers, but questioners. We would wrestle with passages, exploring all latitude of interpretation, and eventually a bolder and more curious faith blossomed in me during these conversations, just as I developed these new intellectual muscles that I was very excited to flex. Something that stands out from the time was how I understood the word faith at the time. It's a slippery word that gets used in a lot of different ways, from belief to trust to doctrines and then to steadfastness. My understanding at the time would have aligned with any atheists, actually. That is, intellectual assent without proof, which is a meager definition. After all, who can be credited for being persuaded of a claim? And Christians do view faith as a virtue. The lyric, "Great is thy faithfulness," had hitherto confused me. Nevertheless, I held to that definition since, after all, I was persuaded, not with proof per se, but still on perfectly reasonable grounds, with arguments such as, you know, the prime mover or first cause, or the moral argument, that being, you know, how can you know a line is crooked without reference to a straight line? I was intellectually fortified, but not devout. And after leaving Rosebud, I was more often at home on Sunday morning. I spent 7 years in university, studying geography and then landscape architecture, hoping to learn how to magnify the beauty of the earth. These university years were fun. I spent a lot of time sparring with counterparts on theological topics, and I have continued these contests with friends outside of university since. 5 years ago, I met Lindsay, and we began dating. I was attracted to her athletic prowess, but also her humble and open faith. Without much excitement, I began to return to church, where I picked up my music again, so to speak, and began practicing. I was forced to consider what my faith meant to me and whether it ought to be central in my life. I also, at the time, began studying classic authors like Lewis and Dostoevsky again, seeing the integration between story, beauty, and the gospel. When the time came to decide what to do with Lindsay, I concluded that, yes, faith ought to be central. There were other reasons, too. Not faith dependent on intellectual persuasion, but on practice, perseverance, and love of beauty. To borrow a phrase from the aforementioned Dostoevsky, "For know, dear ones, that every one of us is undoubtedly responsible for all men and everything on earth, not merely through the general sinfulness of creation, but each one personally for all mankind and every individual man. We are not islands, but gardeners, cultivating the beauty of his creation and the faith of our cohabitants. And as was in my own case, I did not become a Christian because of some heroic, transformative odyssey, but through the day-to-day discussions and encouragements of my parents, my family, my friends, even my counterparts, and my wife, Lindsay. Today, Lindsay and I have been at Highland since our marriage, and have found ourselves a community in a city that can be somewhat standoffish. We have found a place that not only feeds us both spiritually and literally at 642, but offers us a place to serve back. Thank you so much, Highland, for accepting us with so much love, and thank you for the witnesses for being here to join us. Thank you.
All right. Nathan and May,
Jonathan, before this body of believers, I want to formally ask you, have you been baptized upon, or by choice is the phrasing I'm using today, by choice, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Do you acknowledge and accept this congregation's confession of faith? Yes. And so that we're clear, is it your desire to work together with all of us as God enables and to be welcomed into membership here of Highland Church in this body of believers? Well, then, Lindsay, Brennan, Jonathan, Nathan, and May, it is my privilege and my honor to formally welcome you into the membership here at Highland MB Church. I want to invite you guys to remain standing here and invite all of you, members, actually, not all of you, I invite the members specifically of Highland Church to stand. And for those of you who are visiting, certainly you can participate, but this is for our membership as we renew our commitment, not only to one another, but today, in a formal sense, to our five newest members. So let's read together here as members at Highland Church. We, the membership of Highland Church, have died to ourselves and been raised to life in Christ. Having proclaimed this through the act of baptism, we pledge to love one another, study and submit to Scripture, and serve the mission of God's church in this world. Through the power of God, we commit ourselves to growing as a community of grace, as we celebrate communion with one another and with Him. By the light of God's great love, we will discover and use our spiritual gifts and talents and work to build one another up by following the leading of the Holy Spirit in our midst. By the mercy and grace of God, we will give sacrificially of our time and treasure to further the kingdom work of this local sacred community. Jesus Christ, and help others know, love, and serve Him until our neighbors and their neighbors are in growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. You may all be seated. Thank you. This time I invite the worship team to come back up and lead us in a closing song together.